Another Friday afternoon and another Bobcast is here. I'm your host, as always, Bobby Manning. And this date holds a great significance for a number of reasons. NBA free agency is on the road. The NHL offseason is in full swing. Some big deals out there today. So there is a lot of action going on, a lot on the table. And who knows what could happen during this show alone. It's not a live show, but if something crazy happens, we're going to have some reaction here. The Bobcast, a weekly tour of sports and pop culture. You can follow the show at The Bobcast Show on Twitter. You can follow me at Real Bob Manning. And, of course, subscribe and rate on iTunes, clnsradio.com/bobcastitunes. That's where you can find our iTunes page. Look up Tour in the Dictionary and you get a journey for pleasure in which several different places are visited. We're going to go to a lot of different places today. Boston, Oklahoma City, all over the NBA, lots of action happening. And how about that new intro? I couldn't help but bob my head to that one. It's just so soulful, so good. I'm so glad we're rolling with that. And I got to give credit to my man Fazman, beats producer extraordinaire. You can find him on Twitter at Fazman Beats. So July is here. We got a fresh slate for the Bobcast, and I want to thank you for your outpouring of support in that first month. It was just incredible. We had some great guests between Adam Kaufman, Snotty Drippin, Devin Fink, a fantastic baseball episode last week. You're going to want to check that out. We got a nice archives up at our site, bobcastpod.libsyn.com. And I'll link you some of those later on the Twitter page. We got big guests coming in July, starting with today. Tony Capobianco of Enid News, a great inspiration of mine, a great mentor. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes. But first, NBA free agency is just in full swing right now. I'm trying to keep an eye on Twitter because deals are swinging left and right. I was up at midnight last night, right out the gate. Bradley Beal signing a 5-year, $128 million deal. Timothy Mozgov gets a $64 million deal. DeMar DeRozan, $145 million. Andre Drummond, $130 million in Detroit. Nicholas Batum, $120 million. Jordan Clarkson, $50 million. Hassan Whiteside gets $98 million from the Heat. Ish Smith gets a 3-year deal. I don't think the terms have been disclosed on that one yet. DJ Augustine gets $29 million from the Magic. Jeremy Lin is off to Brooklyn at $36 million. Big Al Jefferson, a favorite of ours here in Boston, gets $30 million. And recently, I just saw it coming across the screen here, Bayless is off to Philadelphia for $9 million a year. So just money flying around everywhere. And we knew it was going to happen with the cap going up $20 million. But for all these deals, everyone's eye is on Oklahoma City. Kevin Durant had a meeting there with the Thunder yesterday. He's got meetings lined up all weekend with the Warriors, the Spurs, the Celtics, of course, as well as the Clippers and the Miami Heat. So I got a nice story for you guys regarding the Celtics and Kevin Durant coming up. But first, I want to bring him in. He's a great, great media member. He's been all over the place. He's got a lot of good stuff to share with us. He's currently working for EnidNews.com, and he is a big inspiration of mine. Tony Capobianco joining the tour. Tony, how's it going?
Coming to you live from outside of Starbucks in Enid. We have an Air Force base nearby, so in case you hear like a jet flying, that's why.
Hey, we'll deal with it. We thank you for being aboard the show. So, Tony, I want to introduce you real quick to the Bobcast audience. I describe you as an expert of arts, media, and entertainment, and we love all that here on the Bobcast. You graduated from University of Arizona in 2013. I see you're in the Oklahoma City area right now covering the Thunder and a bunch of other different topics. Examiner.com you work for, as well as myself. You've hosted radio shows. You traveled across the country attending MLB All-Star Games. So I got to ask you right off the bat, how'd you end up in Oklahoma?
They hired me. That's pretty much it. I got the job before I knew where the city was. It was an odd journey because in 8 days, I'm going to be 26 years old. So I get out of college. I go back to Miami with my family. I freelance for the Miami Herald for a year. And then I get my first job in Wyoming. That lasts a month. I go to California. I give that a shot. There's that jet I was talking about. Woo. I go to Indiana, and that turned into a summer job because they hired me in June, laid me off in August. And before I got my last severance package check, I got the Oklahoma job. So this has pretty much been a blessing for me to be here and actually feel like I'm in a stable environment.
It's great to see you're doing well for yourself out there. So Oklahoma is in the national spot right now, of course. And before we get to that, I gotta, give you some solace. University of Arizona losing to Coastal Carolina. How are you doing after that loss in the College World Series?
I was just about to forget about that until you reminded me of it. I mean, that's I'm used to it as an Arizona fan, because Arizona, for football, basketball, even baseball, they will get me to the big events, like the Fiesta Bowl or the Elite Eight or the College World Series Final, and then they'll let me down. But that's okay. Just get me to the event, and I'll take the good with the bad from there.
So we're gonna turn it right around to Kevin Durant. He had a meeting with the Thunder yesterday. A lot of speculation going on. Consensus seems to be that he's going to be going back. I mean, Mark Stein said there's a 90% chance. He likes Oklahoma City area. What's his connection to the Oklahoma City area? How much does he love playing there? I mean, you've covered the Thunder for a little while right now, I assume.
As the franchise grew and as the city grew, Kevin Durant grew. When he first got to Oklahoma City from Seattle, there was no Devon Tower. You couldn't tell the difference between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And Tulsa is pretty much half the size of OKC right now. And just 2 years after the Thunder started to become like a really good team and Kevin Durant started to become an NBA superstar along with Russell Westbrook, we get a Devon Tower. We get new things. The city grows. You can now go to China and mention Oklahoma City and they'll mention Kevin Durant. You can see Kevin Durant jerseys with Oklahoma City in the front all over the world now. So the Thunder's success and Kevin Durant's growth and success has made Oklahoma City a legit city now. So people say that LeBron James does a lot for the economy of Cleveland. Kevin Durant's probably number two on that list for OKC. I don't think he ever meant to leave. He just made right now the question is not if he's going to stay, but is he signing a one-year deal or is he going to sign the full max?
He is the Oklahoma City when you think about it. I mean, he was that first draft pick coming out of Seattle, moving the team there. He's been the face of the franchise their whole existence pretty much. How important do you think that's going to play into his decision this summer?
I don't think that's going to be like a sell point, like, hey, you've been so good here, why leave? But it's also the fact that Oklahoma City is actually still a very good franchise and has done a good job getting good players and making the team better throughout the course of their existence. Even now, with the Victor Oladipo draft day trade, we're now there much better in the backcourt and still stable in the frontcourt, to where now the meaties could be more about keep you, and we could probably get somebody else for you. Like that, there's also been rumors that Al Horford could also be a Thunder if Kevin Durant stays. Like that could be a package deal for them.
They're definitely pulling and tugging with my Celtics. A lot of Al Horford conversation around them these past 2 days. We got a meeting ourselves with Kevin Durant tomorrow. Oklahoma City met with Kevin Durant yesterday before the free agent window opened up. What do you think was discussed in that meeting? Do you have any speculation? And they are going to meet with him again after this series of meetings over the weekend. Why do you think that's going to be necessary for them?
Well, I think it's just free agent plans and, like, what they could do over the offseason. He did mention that Thunder came first and then the other team meetings. So I think it's only fair for the Thunder that after you get the other team meetings, you can go back to the Thunder and then give them a chance to cross-examine what the other plans are. But I don't think this is more like a wine and dime situation. More is let's actually see what's out there. Because when he had that chance the first time, he didn't do it.
Does the fact that there's a second meeting concern you a little bit?
No. It takes as many meetings as it takes to get the job done. I don't think he's going to leave.
I gave my 2 cents on it to start it off. I think he's going to go back on the one-year deal. Russell Westbrook, of course, being a free agent there next offseason. They're pretty tight, at least from what you can see on camera. I don't think he's going to leave them high and dry either. I think they're going to both want to go into that. You talk about crazy NBA free agencies. This summer's crazy. Next summer's just bananas with the cap going up another $20 million. I think he's going to opt in the next free agency and stay in Oklahoma this summer. Is there confidence in re-signing him beyond that eventually next summer? And what do you think is going to be the key for the Thunder to keep him there beyond 2017?
If he becomes a free agent next year and he signs for the max deal, he's going to make over $250 million. That's something he can't do any other way with someone else or with the Thunder, even a long-term deal this year. So that's a big deal. And with all the money being all over the place, it really has nothing to do with the cap more than it does with the rising salary floor. The salary floor, which is the minimum, is at $85 million. And with so many teams out there, but only say that maybe five of them are free agent destinations. How many teams can you count where they're like building their team with the draft, but they haven't made any free agent deals, so they're really below the floor? Like Denver, for example, or Philly. So everyone has that Cold Stone Creamery mentality, the gotta have it mentality. So everybody, including Kent Bazemore, is gonna get $20 million a year, which is ridiculous, but also pretty funny.
So we're gonna move on from Kevin Durant a little bit. A lot of meetings this weekend. That news is gonna continue to develop. But what I really wanted to talk to you in your guest appearance right here, that incredible news from a political and baseball standpoint. Congress getting into the minor league baseball. This is from Market Watch. A bill was introduced Wednesday that would prevent minor league baseball players from getting minimum wage and receiving overtime pay. The bill introduced by Representative Brett Guthrie, a Kentucky Republican, and Representative Cherry Bustos, an Illinois Democrat, would exempt minor league players from the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. The bill is in response to efforts by some 10,000 current and former players, led by minor leaguer turned lawyer Garrett Brushes, to get minimum wage and overtime for their work. Though average salary for a player who makes it to the major leagues is $4.4 million, minor league players scant as low as $5,500 for a 5-month season. Over at Enid News, you wrote a column this morning comparing that effort by both baseball and Congress, NCAA-esque. You've covered minor league baseball for a while now, Tony. What's the salary situation like and pretty much living conditions for a lot of these players? You know, it's not a big focus.
Well, here's a good comparison for perspective. There's a guy pitching for the Tulsa Drillers named Rolston Cash. He's got a foundation where he sells shirts of a silhouette version of his face with the man bun, mustache, and glasses look. And he takes that money that he makes from that and donations, and he buys Christmas gifts for children who lost their parents to cancer every year. It's a great foundation. They raised $10,000 last year in donations and shirt sales. He, as a pitcher, made $5,000.
It's incredible.
It's ridiculous. And that's only for the 5-month season, maybe 6 if you include the playoffs. But after that, if you're a good enough prospect, you have to go back to the spring training for something called the Instructional League, which is like October, mid-November-ish. And then you also have to go to the Arizona Fall League if you're good enough. And that runs through mid-November. And then you got spring training, which is January through March and probably even into May if you do extended spring training, if you're a short season guy, those don't amount to anything monetarily speaking. So you're only getting paid for 5 months. You're not even getting paid maybe that much. I might actually make more than them, and I'm pretty much an entry-level sports writer. And sometimes to make the rent, you got like these apartments that have like that house seven guys in a single room, and it's not even furniture. It's just beds, air mattresses, anything, whatever they can scrounge up. And maybe they'll get taken care of in food while they're at the game. But I mean, this is you think the fast food workers fighting for the minimum wage being 15 is ridiculous. This is nuts. This is worse.
It's unbelievable. And the uproar caused the congresswoman to back off from the deal just because of the outrage. But Major League Baseball, and this is the most astonishing part from my standpoint, they're standing by the notion that these guys can't be making much money. They basically came out and called them interns today, that they don't think they should be making much money at all. It's a very interesting situation. We lost Tony, had a great conversation going right there, but he was in a very strange area. So we're gonna move on from him. But I want to read his piece, and it's just a continually puzzling story. Like he said previously, the Ralston Cash Foundation raised over $10,000 to send Christmas gifts to children who lost a parent to cancer by selling shirts with the Tulsa Drillers pitcher's silhouette, handlebar, mustache, circular glasses, and man bun look. Ralston Cash, the pitcher, made only half that playing for the Drillers. We raised double what I made last year as a minor league baseball player, so that was pretty entertaining to think about, Cash said. We clear $630 every 2 weeks if you've never been a free agent before. I was making more than that in donations and t-shirt sales. The idea that a minor league player can't make as much as a federal minimum wage is rather insane to the point of being un-American, Tony said. Having a pair of congressmen introduce a bill to keep it that way is worse. It's NCAA-like. Cherry Bustos and Brett Guthrie, who I mentioned before, introduced the Save America's Pastime Act on June 24th, and Minor League Baseball sent out a statement on Wednesday in full support of that bill. Save America's Pastime from what, pray tell? Apparently they're trying to save America's pastime from a pending lawsuit filed in California in 2014 that states minor league players should be subject to federal overtime laws like any other American worker. Now, the concern, of course, in baseball is that they want to minimize cost at this level. You're devoting millions and millions and millions of dollars to these Major League Baseball players, and of course, these minor league franchises are individual entities in themselves. But the notion that they should be subject to pretty much starvation wages, I mean, $7,500 a season, some make as low as $5,000 a season, from what I read off this, it's just unbelievable. You gotta check this piece out by Tony. And I want to thank him again for joining us today. Looks like there was some technical difficulties, but we got that Durant conversation in. We got to bring this to the light. And it looks like there's going to be a continued fight because Major League Baseball is calling these minor leaguers interns. 5 month interns at $5,000 a year. We'll see about that. There's a lawsuit coming. I think they got a decent case. I'm not a lawyer, but these guys are going to make a little more for their work, especially with how long they're devoting to these franchises. So we'll see where that goes. Tony Capobianco, enidnews.com in the Oklahoma City area. We thank him for being with us today. I'll send that link your way at the Bobcast Show. And we keep on rolling, keeping an eye on Twitter right here just for any more deals coming across the table. My Bruins signed David Backes, which is a great move. I really want to see the Bruins relevant again, but I also have a great story to share with you from yesterday. So, won the dawn of NBA free agency yesterday. I'm hanging around my house. My two buddies pull up to my front door. They're like, come on in the Boston. I was busy working on some stuff for the site, CelticsBlog.com. I wrote a new Dwight Howard column there last night. But they tell me Isaiah Thomas is in Boston passing out good humor bars. Ice cream. I'm a big ice cream guy. I can't pass up the ice cream, so I'm like, all right. I come outside, we roll into Boston. Isaiah on his Twitter said he's going to be there 12-3. So I'm thinking in my head, you know, let's go meet Isaiah Thomas and ask him to be on the podcast. So we're zooming into Boston. I'm looking online. There's all these different pictures of Isaiah out in public. People ask him about Durant, his pitch to Durant. Now, Isaiah Thomas has done incredible things as a member of the Celtics from both an on-court perspective and off-court perspective. I mean, the Celtics have seats at the table with Kevin Durant, Al Horford, Dwight Howard, which is just unprecedented in Celtics history and free agency. And he's out there making pitches to all of them. So we're racing into Boston to try get a picture with him, a chat with him. And all of a sudden, my buddy texts me, who's in Boston. He's like, Isaiah just left. It's 2 o'clock. He was supposed to be there 12-3. So I'm thinking maybe he'll come back. We keep rolling into the city. And all of a sudden, we pull up there. There's a guy in a white Good Humor costume at the front of the line. So I'm like, oh, maybe Isaiah went to get changed. We think it might be him. We can't really see from the back of the line. So we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. We get up to the front of that line. It's not Isaiah at all. We're disappointed. We got free ice cream, which is nice, but no Isaiah to be found. Apparently, he went off to meet with Danny Ainge about their upcoming meeting with Durant this weekend. So, you know what? Do your job, Isaiah. It's fine. I just really wish we could have had him on the podcast here. Maybe he wouldn't even been down for it. Who knows? So, we grab our ice cream. I got a nice cone, vanilla chocolate swirl. We're sitting down on the bench in Faneuil Hall. It's this big marketplace here in Boston. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up to us. Big backpack, holding a bunch of CDs. Now, you hear about the mixtape guys on the internet all the time, listen to my mixtape. This is the street version of one of these guys, and he introduces himself as Black Swan. Now, I've never heard of the guy in my life. I didn't grow up in Boston. I didn't live in Boston or anything like that. So this guy's like, let me freestyle for you. Like, all right, we're just chilling there. We didn't see Isaiah, so we might as well listen to this. So the guy just starts spitting bars about the situation going on around us, commenting on these people walking by, what we're wearing, the freckles on my face, the t-shirt my buddy Rocco's wearing. So he just starts going off, and it was incredible to hear. He was actually good. This wasn't just some clown. Black Swan. So he offers us up his mixtape, which I believe was called Permanent Ink, for $5. So I toss $2, my other buddy tosses $2, another guy tosses $1, and we get the mixtape. So we didn't meet Isaiah. We're on our way home from Boston in traffic, and we're like, all right, let's listen to this. So we slide into the CD, and all of a sudden these crazy beats just start bumping. This guy's going off, and I'm like, oh my God. I've never been more surprised in my life. So I go online, I look up Black Swan. He's nowhere to be found online, but all I see are these testaments, 5 years old, 7 years old, going back to 2007, as old as you can think, about this guy Black Swan who came up to them in the subway, at the Celtics game, at the Red Sox game, spitting freestyles and selling his mixtapes. So I'm like, oh my God. I fire out a tweet, I'm like, I think we just ran into a Boston legend here. And all of a sudden, everyone comes back at me. They're like, yeah, we know Black Swan. So we didn't meet Isaiah, but shout out Black Swan. What a day in Boston. We'll transition now to the impactful stories in sports and pop culture. The NBA continues to speak out against North Carolina's bathroom law. This is from the Washington Post's Des Spieler. The NBA reaffirmed its opposition to North Carolina's bathroom bill Thursday. The league issued a statement amid reports that lawmakers in the state are considering changes to the bill, also known as HB2, which roll back anti-discrimination provisions for the LGBT community enacted in Charlotte and mandated that transgender people use public bathrooms corresponding with their birth gender. Quote, we have been engaged in dialogue with numerous groups in the city and at state levels, but do not endorse the version of the bill that we understand is currently going before the legislature, said the NBA in its statement. We remain committed to our guideline principles of inclusion, mutual respect, and equal protection for all. In April, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver had announced that the league would move the All-Star Game, scheduled to be hosted by the Charlotte Hornets in 2017, next season, if no changes were made to HB2. the law as it now stands in North Carolina is problematic for the league, Adam Silver said, adding that the view among NBA leadership was that we should be working towards change in North Carolina. Skipping ahead a little bit, meanwhile, some HB2 supporters in North Carolina are expressing anger at the NBA for getting involved in efforts to change the bill, from a report Tuesday by the Charlotte Observer. We'd be opposed to any change in the bill, said Tammy Fitzgerald, executive director of NC Values Coalition. We believe the people of North Carolina have already spoken through their elected representatives. She criticized the NBA for, quote, bullying the state and the legislature, and that it was outrageous for a sports organization to try to bro-beat the state on an issue that should be decided by the people who live there. Now, it's interesting her stance on this. That she doesn't want the NBA getting involved and speaking from their standpoint, that they want to promote inclusion and their own values. Yet, she wants to stand up as a legislature and tell this whole community of people that they can't do what they want to in bathrooms. Now, I'm not going to make this too political right now, but the NBA, I think, standing up and promoting these values of inclusion is awesome. I think they're in their full right to do so, and in a situation like this in this country where a big organization can come out and stand by the people when their government isn't, I just think that's an awesome thing for the NBA to be doing. The NBA continues to expand their reach beyond the basketball court, and if nothing changes out there, I think Adam Silver isn't going to show any hesitation in pulling the plug on that All-Star game out there in Charlotte. So we'll see what happens as that situation continues to unfold out there. More from Rio de Janeiro, where the Olympics are scheduled to be held in Brazil. That's getting underway August 5th with a opening ceremony, and then we get rolling. But Brazil just continues to be a hotbed of issues. How about this for our headline? Rio's Horror Week. This is from CNN. Body parts wash up near Olympic beach volleyball site. Now, I don't know about you, but Nahant Beach here in Boston, Hamptons up there in New Hampshire, Good Harbor up there in Gloucester, I've never seen any body parts floating aboard our beaches here on this shore, but apparently with, quote, 36 days to go before the Rio Olympics, the situation in the host city just went from bad to worse. A beachgoer Wednesday discovered human body parts that had washed up on the shore right in front of the Olympic beach volleyball arena on Rio's famed Copacabana Beach. A dismembered foot and another body part still unidentified was found, according to Andre Ruiz and an officer of the military police. Police believe the victim was a young woman or young adult. Although the circumstances surrounding the person's death are unknown, it is another embarrassing blow to the host country, already reeling from financial problems, a mishap-prone Olympic torch, and an outbreak of the mosquito-borne Zika virus. Now, you want to talk about pulling the plug on the event. Stephen Colbert had a hilarious take on this the other night, just the piling mishaps that continue to happen out there in Brazil. I think one funny line was, Brazil, come for the sport, stay because you're dead. Now let's scroll through the issues they've had over the past few weeks, few months. 2 days before the gruesome body part discovery, the acting governor of Rio de Janeiro warned that the games could be a big failure because the state is out of money. Scroll a little more. Welcome to hell. The frustration over unpaid wages from members of law enforcement boiled over in several protests. The same day, several people held up a banner at the airport saying, welcome to hell. Police and firefighters don't get paid. Whoever comes to Rio de Janeiro will not be safe. Now they hold a banner up on this bridge here in Rio, I assume, that says, welcome. We don't have hospitals. So just continued good news out of the Olympics. And going even further, a man, a protester, I assume, threw a bucket of water at the Olympic torch, trying to put it out. He missed and hit some of the officials who were handling it. He got arrested. The Olympic torch also had some controversy last week as a chain jaguar, was killed at a lighting exhibition. And the Rio organizing event quickly came up with an apology saying they made a mistake by putting a wild animal near the torch and guaranteed, quote, no more situations like this will occur during the games. Everything's piling up there in Rio between all of those mishaps and the Zika virus. I can tell you myself, the thought wouldn't even cross my mind of going to Brazil. Now, I don't know if myself as a media member would be able to pass up covering the Olympics. That seems like a great opportunity, but no police, no firefighters, no hospitals, dead bodies in the streets, jaguars off the chains. I mean, what else can go wrong there? You gotta wonder. So that is just an unbelievable story. You gotta wonder what's gonna happen next. Rio says nothing's gonna happen like this again. But meanwhile, the mayor or governor of the region says the Olympics could be, quote, a big disaster. So welcome to hell. A lot of players aren't going. A lot of people are. Carmelo Anthony seems really thrilled about playing basketball there. Hopefully he doesn't run into a leg on the beach. We move on. So in the world of music right now, you got three big players as far as music consumption goes. Tidal, Spotify, and Apple Music. Those are the big three out there. With, as far as market share goes, Spotify, which is sort of the originator, still has a pretty dominant hold over the industry. But this is from the Wall Street Journal. Apple in talks to acquire Jay-Z's Tidal Music service. And sources say that talks are ongoing and may not result in a deal. From Daisuke Wakabayashi, Hannah Karp, and Patience. What a name, Patience. Again, Apple Inc. is in talks to acquire Tidal, a streaming music service run by rap mogul Jay-Z. Jigga, according to people familiar with the matter. Apple is exploring the idea of bringing on Tidal to bolster its Apple Music service because of Tidal's strong ties to popular artists like Kanye West and Madonna. The talks are ongoing and may not result in a deal, these people said. Terms of the potential deal aren't known. Jay-Z bought the service in March 2015 for $56 million from Swedish company Aspiro, which had created the brand Tidal. He had given 19 famous artists and bands small stakes in Tidal's, interface, I guess, and promised each millions of dollars worth of marketing, according to people familiar with the matter. A Tidal spokeswoman said Tidal executives haven't held talks with Tidal. So basically, between these three streaming services, which is how music is predominantly streamed nowadays. I know I've been in the streaming for a long time myself, but the two of the three biggest brands consolidating into one under Apple's branch and fighting against Spotify would be incredibly interesting to watch. Now, I'm not sure if those two brands would coexist under the same company or they would all fall under the Apple Music cloud. But it's interesting to see Jay-Z in conversations to pass on his control of the brand, because Jay-Z himself was out there saying years ago that this is going to be the next big thing in music. They're going to get artists more money from their streams, which you look at some of these numbers that the artists get per stream. If you play a single song on Apple Music, that artist themselves, or anyone else who was involved in the production, however they divvy up that money, are all getting less than 1 cent. I think you're getting 1/10 of 1 cent for each play you get. So you're not even getting a penny for each play you get on Apple Music. I think Tidal was giving artists a little more, maybe 0.2 cents. Those platforms are just continually intriguing, and we're going to talk with Mel Smith next week of Universal Music Group, who just has a great grip on the music industry, music in the 21st century, which just continues to move towards new ideas left and right. But this deal is going to be something to keep an eye on. So we'll talk more about that next week, see if there's any more developments. But Jay-Z, selling Tidal? We'll see. On to another story I ran across this week. It's official. Raw cookie dough is a no-no. Put down the spoon and spatula from the mixing bowl. This is from USA Today. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced it is no longer safe to eat raw cookie dough or batter, even if you're using a recipe that doesn't use raw eggs. In fact, the administration said in a new consumer update posted Tuesday, it's not safe to eat raw flour in any form. Not homemade Play-Doh, not licking the spoon of brownie batter, nothing. Now I gotta tell you, I don't want salmonella. You could die, you could be on the toilet doing very gruesome things, but I don't think anything's gonna help stop me from licking the brownie spoon when we're making brownies around here. But FDA, no more cookie dough. But that cookie dough ice cream, still good to eat, I guess. So that's our show for today. NBA free agency still swirling. I'm going to take a quick look at this timeline one last time to see if anything drops. Don't see anything significant. Woj says Atlanta Hawks and free agent Dwight Howard made a strong connection in meeting today from the vertical. There's traction there. I wrote about Dwight Howard last night on CelticsBlog.com. I think he's a very intriguing backup option on a one-and-one deal for the Celtics, should he be willing to do that prove-it year with them. But if he's going to get max money, he's going to take it. And you saw with Mozgov and the other centers who were getting crazy money last night that if that long-term deal is out there, he's going to take it. Atlanta just might be willing to give that to him. Anyways, that's our show for the week. Thank you for Tony Capobianco for being with us today, however short that was. Thank you for being with us through four episodes. I can't thank you enough. Follow us at The Bobcast Show on Twitter. We're going to be rolling out t-shirts in the next month, I'd say. We're going to start looking at some designs. We're going to start showing you guys, the fans, some appreciation for being with us. And don't hold back. If you got some suggestions for this show, what could make it better, what could make it more exciting, please, you can find me at Real Bob Manning. Tweet away, rip the show, praise the show. I am all ears for you, the audience. Next week, we got Mel Smith of UMG Recordings. Just like I said, July 8th, we're here with you every Friday on the Bobcast. A weekly tour of sports and pop culture. I hope you loved our pleasure ride this week. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll see you next time on the Bobcast, a weekly tour of sports and pop culture. I'm your host, Bobby Manning. Peace.